Hey everyone, welcome to the Sports in the Mitten podcast, powered by Mr. Spots in Ann Arbor. I'm your host, Adam Biggers, Michigan and Michigan State beat writer for FanRag Sports. Just kind of an impromptu show today, with it being Jim Harbaugh's first press conference and my baseball game tonight got banged because of the rain. So I figured, hey, why not? It's a great opportunity for a podcast. It was Harbaugh's first press conference. Got a couple questions on Twitter about that. Ola says Legoism. Hey, Legoism, thanks for joining. Or Leoism, I'm sorry. And I think, guys, I may have solved the problem of me having to look in all the time. I believe if I just watch this on my laptop, I can see the live chat. So let's see real quick if it's happening. It's actually not even up. So I'm going to try not to look into the camera all the time. There we go. Yeah, the Mays jersey, Sean DeBoer. I'll get into that. Hey, Justin, how's it going? Justin asked a question about that. I want to talk about first impressions from today's press conference. It was at Towsley. Usually they'll be at the Chrysler Center. You guys are familiar with that room with Beeline and all the post-game press conferences. So in Towsley, it's a little bit more cramped. I wasn't able to go talk to Henry Pogge. He was out there today because there was a mob of like 50 people surrounding him. We'll get players before we leave. Or before they leave, rather, for Dallas, and before all of us leave for Dallas as well. So I'll have more on that. But really, want to focus on Harbaugh's, kind of my impressions of that. And I got a great question from Nezzy on Twitter in that regard, so we'll go over that. I want to talk about the team captains, because I think with Mason Cole, Mike McCray, you really can't go wrong. And both of these guys, with their backstories, Mason being a four-year starter, Mike McCray being a fifth-year senior, who's really seen a lot, right? I mean, he's battled injury. Not playing, not starting, kind of, you know, I'm sure there have been some low points for Mike during his career. And now look at him. He's being viewed as a leader on the defense. And, of course, I'll take your guys' questions, too. So I want to start out, guys. DeMario, I see yours. Jalen, Raphael, and Jay, I'll get to all your guys' real quick. If you notice, now I don't have to look in. I can just see it on my browser. So whoever gave me that tip, I forgot. I think it was Matt Morris. Thank you for that. Now you guys don't have to look at my nostrils. Anyway, Nezzy wanted to know, has Harbaugh's confidence changed throughout his first two seasons? And I think based on just what I've seen during, you know, since he got to Michigan, I would say he's relatively the same. But part of me believes, like, there is a sense of control. I think Jim Harbaugh, and I even thought that during, like, about six games into the 2015 season, like, he has really taken full ownership of this program. And I think in terms of, you know, we always hear the phrase buy in, players buying in. And unless you know what that really entails, you can just dismiss it as cliche. But he's gotten guys to buy in. And I think that's the most important part. And I wrote a column. It'll be on FanRag Sports later today, at FanRag underscore you and at FanRag Sports, FanRagSports.com. And it basically talks about that. That I think with the players, I think with Harbaugh, the system, the names change, and we've gone over this before. The names have changed, but the system remains the same. Jim Harbaugh is still coaching there, and I think I wrote that like verbatim, in the column. So in that regard, Nezzy, I think that his confidence, if anything, maybe is a little bit higher just for the fact that he knows, okay, everything that he's worked to install, he knew. I'm pretty sure he knew it wasn't going to happen overnight. You go 20-6 in your first two seasons. You're starting to cycle in your own recruiting classes. I think that he knows, like, okay, right now is when he can get the ball rolling. I know a lot of people are going to talk about the departures, but at the same time, and I've cited this several times, same coaching staff, guys. It is the same coaching staff. So I think that was the only – I know Dave Campbell. I promised Dave I would answer his question. And, Dave, I don't think you actually asked one. You just – he says, I never answer his question, so he'll just hang up and enjoy. So if I miss your question, I apologize. I try to answer them all. Dave, if you're watching, send me one on Twitter because I can't find it. All right, let's get into this live stream. I'm going to start with, and hello, Elite Demon, how are you? I'm going to start with the Mays jersey, Sean DeBoer. Late last night, I think everybody started seeing that picture circulate. Several blogs, several people started circulating that picture, and I laughed it off. I knew that the All-Mays jerseys were coming. I just wasn't able to confirm it until last night. So, but I think a lot of people knew this was coming. There had been hints dropped, so it wasn't a big secret, right? So when I first saw the photo of the ones, I'm like, and I collect jerseys. You guys, if you guys can't tell, you guys know I'm a memorabilia collector. So immediately I knew, okay, well, those are just replicas. They lacked the detail, the neck detail, although it still had the blue collar. It lacked the stitching, the detail, the material, you know. Angelique, actually, today her and I were joking about it. She said it was just basically a basketball jersey with sleeves. And yeah, it looked to me, minus the blue collar, just like your regular Nike replica football jersey. It's just maize. So if you guys have any of those old Michigan ones from the 90s, I mean, it's pretty much the same jersey, just with a different logo. It's not the from what I could tell, the material is different. So I laughed it off and said, yeah, if you guys thought this is the real deal, then no. I mean, it's close. It's a fan replica, right? And Anthony Broom, actually, you guys, if you guys follow Michigan, you guys know who Anthony is. He made a good point, too, because a lot of the jerseys do lack, the replica ones lack a lot of the detail and things like that. But there's still some good, like, I mean, I have a couple Pistons replicas that are sewn on, and they're pretty close. You could tell that the difference in the material and the rows are different. But anyway, what do I think about the all-maize jerseys? Matt Pargoff of MaizeAndBlueNews.com, good friend of mine, he made a joke about it on Twitter. He said that, you know, a traditional power shouldn't have to do this. It was basically a way, you know, for hype. And absolutely, I agree with Matt. It is hype. I mean, Michigan is a traditional power. But at the same time, I don't feel like it's too far. And, I mean, my immediate thoughts, okay, all maize, West Virginia, here we go, you know, like Mountaineers. So maybe they'll be really fast like the Mountaineers used to be under Rich Rod. We don't know. But I do like the look. I think, and especially in today's era, guys like alternate uniforms. I mean, yeah, the tradition and everything is great, and I think a lot of these players understand it. But you have to also understand that college-age guys, I mean, what is old to them? You know, 1990s. You know, early 2000s, that's old to those guys. So we have, and what have they seen growing up? Teams wearing different uniforms. I don't think Michigan has to stray and go crazy, but I think an alternate here or there, and this one's certainly better than the Adidas. And I'm biased because I like Nike and Jordan much, much more than Adidas all across the board, except for Nike makes crappy baseball gloves, Adidas makes decent baseball gloves. But other than that, I think with it being a Jordan jersey, that already ups it, at least in my mind. And I don't mind it. I mean, the all-maize with the blue accents, blue numbers. I mean, they haven't changed the helmet. I think it's okay. So, Jalen Taylor says, the maize jerseys look nice. Dude hating on alternates. Jalen, there are a lot of people that just don't like it. And I think you have to understand there's a sect of Michigan fans that are just so deeply rooted in tradition. I mean, seeing the change from Nike to Adidas was bad for them, I know. Seeing some of those awful Adidas alternates, I know. Seeing, in my eyes, seeing those legacy jerseys forced upon those guys. And I got a comment, somebody was knocking, it was when we talked to Will and Spate, that he didn't know everything. He had to ask about the names of Jimmy King and Juwan Howard, like who, members of the Fab Five. And I responded, well, he didn't grow up in Michigan, he's from Virginia, whatever. You have to realize that some of these Michigan fans are so deeply rooted, like that is everything to them. That's all, you know, the tradition, everything. Not everybody knows that. I mean, I think these players do a good job of that. But when they made the players wear those legacy jerseys, you would be surprised at how little these guys knew about the number that they were wearing. And no fault to their own. I think that was a gimmick on Michigan's part to further sell that tradition. But, I mean, be realistically, I mean, you know, these guys don't know the backstory on a lot of these players. And it was obvious. So anyway, the alternates, I go off on my tangents. You guys know that. Alternates this year, I think they look good. I like them. Adam J. Pradai, I won't buy one, but I think it's going to look good on TV broadcast. Definitely makes a statement. And here I am looking at the screen again. Bobby Dysher, the all blue Adidas are the best ever. I think I liked a couple of them. But as a rule, I just don't like Adidas, period. And it had nothing to do with Adidas in Michigan. I've never been a fan of Adidas. Getting back to some of these live stream questions. Let's see. DeMario says, recruits love, and comments. DeMario says, recruits love alternates. They do. Are you talking about jersey created by the OSU student? Jason Hughes, which one is that? Because the one that Michigan posted and the one that looked like it was on sale at Dick's, Let's see. That was Adam's comment. Justin Green says he wants new ones every week. I don't know about that, Justin. I mean, that's getting into Oregon territory a little bit. But I don't mind. If I'm a Michigan fan, I mean, what do you... I guess, what is your major gripe? Other than the hang-up on tradition. Other than that, what else is the major gripe? I mean, Notre Dame's a pretty traditional program. Notre Dame goes with alternates. Texas is a pretty traditional program. Texas has had alternates. I just think it's the way of the college landscape. Justin Green says, I want chrome. Chrome accent on the helmet? I don't know. Maybe that's me, and I'll go back to Pargoff. He ended his tweet with, Andy's an old man, get off his lawn. And with some of that stuff, I'm like an old man too. Get off my lawn. I mean, and with Michigan, I don't think you have to go that far. And if you guys saw some of these concept ones over the summer, you know, people make on Photoshop and things like that, the one with the Great Lakes, anybody, and someone trying to pass it off as a real Jordan concept, no, that would never happen. I mean, I think anything, all maize jersey, we'll probably see that. I did see a concept one which was pretty similar to this all-maize jersey, but it had the wing design. And those watching on the YouTube live stream, you can see right here, those on Blog Talk Radio, FanRag Sports Radio, and iTunes and Google Play, you can't see me do this, but it's like the winged helmet jersey along the shoulders. Something like that, I don't even, you know, I wouldn't mind. I think there are a couple things that you can do with the Michigan. And there's not, other than the alternate Wolverine logo with like the, you know, he's wearing the little hat. But with the wings, I think you can do some things. And it doesn't have to be over the top. And I don't expect Michigan to go over the top. I think these are tasteful. Anyway, you guys got me talking about jerseys. You know how I love jerseys. So I'll just go on and on and on. Let's see. Blue chrome is dope, says Justin Green. So Adam, you around the players. What's their demeanor like this? Great question, DeMario. These guys are really confident. And again, I'm pointing back to Harbaugh, the question about Harbaugh's confidence. I just think they know. And I mean, they hear everybody talking about, well, 19 players are gone. All these 10 starters on defense. They know that. I don't see a problem having an optimistic viewpoint when it comes to the Wolverines. I don't. And I think when I say optimistic, my realistic optimism, that's a 10-win season. I don't think that's impossible. I think 9-3 is realistic and respectable, because yes, I know I'm saying that the departures will affect them in some way. I mean, if you don't think that, then you're oblivious. But at the same time, I don't think it's going to be a huge drop off. And I mean, maybe a little bit at corner right now. Maybe there'll be some young growing pains. And Thomas Bendit and I talked about this for more than an hour last night. So go on the Sports in the Mitten YouTube channel and check out that episode. Myself, my co-host Thomas Bendit of BT Powerhouse SB Nation, he and I go into detail about this, but there are going to be spots. But like I said, when you take into account it's coaching, it's the same quarterback, arguably better receivers too. I mean, they're true freshmen, but Donovan Peoples-Jones and Tariq Black, I think, are going to be real deals. Kakoa Crawford, I mentioned him during last night's show. Don't look past Kakoa. I think he has the potential to be a number one guy. He was really confident when we talked to him. You don't get any sense of hesitation from these guys or doubt. They're very focused. And again, the column that I wrote that's going to be on FanRag Sports later today addresses that. I don't sense any type of nervousness with these guys. And I think I do a pretty good job of being able to see through, just regular coach speak and regular player talk, and actually get a good sense of the real feeling. And I think the real feeling is they're very confident. Kakoa Crawford is easily the best blocking wide receiver in the country, says TJ Bellware. TJ, I mean, he's one of the best. I know for a fact he's one of the best on Michigan. I can say that. He and Mo Ways are the two best blocking receivers on Michigan, unless something has changed. Best blocking receiver in the country? I don't know. I could put him in the top in the Big Ten. Leoism, Chase Winovich underrated? Yeah, slightly, I think, because I mean, you know, he's Chase Winovich. He doesn't have the name power that a lot of these other guys have. But at the same time, Chase is an incredible pass rusher. He's a very smart player. If you put him, just take into account who he's playing with, I think that should answer your question. Chase Winovich is hanging with Rashawn Gary, Maurice Hurst, Brian Monet, Aubrey Solomon, you know? I mean, Chase, I'll be honest, when Chase Winovich signed with Michigan, and he was initially a tight end, I mean, they've moved Chase around. I never thought that Chase Winovich would be in a premier role, especially on the defensive line. That thought really never crossed my mind, you know, 4 years ago. So I think, is he underrated? I mean, possibly, just because, you know, he doesn't have the name Rashawn Gary has or Maurice Hurst. He wasn't a five-star commit coming in, but I think guys who've played against him don't underrate him. I think if you asked around in the Big Ten, Chase Winovich would probably be a guy who gets mentioned just because we feel like he doesn't get mentioned. And maybe he doesn't get mentioned enough, but I don't think overall he's underrated. Maybe slightly, let's say slightly underappreciated. We'll go with that. Ambry will play plenty this year, says Danny William H. I think Ambry will be. I think he'll figure into that corner rotation. And again, it sounds like Brandon Watson's back there. David Long, LeVert Hill, assumed or presumed starters. Tyree Kinnell, Josh Metellus, again at safety. I think I've gone over linebackers before, but Mike and Devin, Noah, I'm forgetting somebody right now. I mean, Jordan Glasgow is going to be back up there. Kalik at Viper. We know, you know, the D-line, Rashawn, Mo, Brian Monet, Chase Winovich. My prediction on kick returner, Wes Weber Jr. Sorry, I just picked my nose there. Anyway, I didn't eat it, though, all right? My prediction on kick returner, I know a lot of wide receivers have been working back there, running backs. I think it's Chris, LOL. I mean, did you see it or not? I can't just lie and pass it off. You guys saw it. I think it's going to be Chris Evans, Donovan Peoples-Jones. I would not be shocked to see Kalik back there. Kalik mentioned when we talked to him that he had been working back there. And I don't know if it's, again, with Chris, I expect a heavy workload for Chris. Are they going to want to pile returns on him as well? With Kalik, same thing. I mean, with the Viper, he's going to have a lot of responsibility on that defense. Are they going to want to pile that on him again? But if he's even a slice of what Jabril Peppers was, and all these guys are saying that Kalik is, you know, coming along, I don't want to slap that tag on him yet. But if he even has a sliver of what Jabril Peppers had, then I don't think it'd be too much for him. And he's the kind of guy that could be a do-all weapon. And then in that case too, I mean, are they going to use him in a similar fashion? I'm kind of anxious. I want to see if Kalik Hudson gets a carry this year. That's interesting to me to think about. Anyway, Elise Mben Bossy backing up Mike. It sounds like he's in there. I don't know, backup to McCray. I think that's Devin. It's Devin Gill is McCray's backup. Who's the offensive line? Nobody's talking about it and could possibly force his way in starting five. Rafael Sandoval. Offensive line, Rafael, and as far as I see it, and I'll go left to right, Mason Cole, Ben Bredesen, Patrick Kugler at center, right guard Mike Onwenu, right tackle Juwan Bushel-Beatty or John Runyon. But I do have questions about the right side, and I've addressed this before. So if it's not Mike Onwenu as a lock at right guard, I believe that they'll probably move Juwan in at right guard, and John Runyon will be the right tackle. I don't think you can go wrong with either option in terms of right tackle. John Runyon obviously has the statistics behind him. If you look at all those combine results, he won like 8 of 9 events. The only other offensive lineman who beat him in all these agility drills was Cesar Ruiz. So I think that that's probably firm, their starting five. I know that Drevno mentioned Andrew Stuber earlier in the year. He mentioned Chuck Filiaga, you know, those kind of guys. James Hudson has been moved to the offensive line. In terms of depth, I don't know if we even really have a clear picture, because I think just nailing down the starting five and with that right side being kind of a concern, it throws us off. So at least for me, I don't know what, you know, there's other people out there who probably have, you know, maybe a better idea. I don't know. I feel like I have a pretty good idea. So did I hear two more Florida players in trouble? Jason Hughes. Yes. Marijuana. Guys, don't do stupid stuff before a big game. I mean, that's all I got. I'm not going to sit here and slam a guy. I mean, they're college kids, okay? And we'll leave it at that. Stuff happens. MIPs, screwing around with weed, whatever. They're at that age. It happens. But if I'm a player and I'm really valuing my position on the team and I'm valuing, you know, the reputation and image of my university, I would at least think that I would straighten my crap out for at least, you know, for a week. Come on, this is a huge game. Or don't party during the season or something. You know what I mean? And it's easier for us to sit here and talk about it. But to me, I chalk these up as just really stupid mistakes. I'm not going to say, and I saw the report. I don't have the name of the guy right now. But, I mean, we know, like, Antonio Callaway, his might be, he's kind of got a reputation. He's done a lot of boneheaded stuff. So, but in terms of, you know, these two recently suspended players, to just, you know, automatically tab them as, you know, bad guys in Florida, I mean, as guys make a mistake. But it does not look good for Florida, especially with the previous ordeal with seven players suspended and, you know, alleged credit card misuse and all that. So, James Robinson. Yep, Wes, you're right. I was trying to remember. I thought I was going to say, right, I knew it was Robinson. I didn't know if it was James. But, yeah, I don't know his background. How would DeMario Vaughn wants to know, how wild would it be if Alex Malzahn walked out on the field for the first snap? DeMario Vaughn, if Alex Malzahn walks out there for the first snap, I don't know what I would say. Because Jim Harbaugh still hasn't confirmed a starter, right? And today he kind of, I think it was his way of maybe poking back slightly. He said, well, Florida hasn't named a starter either. McElwain's whining about a roster. Rutgers is whining about a roster. I mean, I've seen jokes on Twitter. Jim Harbaugh should just go out there, you know, hand him a big stack before the game. Just drop it on the Florida sideline. There you go. I made a joke on Twitter, like, every time a guy makes a play, so-and-so. Oh, well, Mike McCray is definitely on the roster. Oh, well, there's Kalik Hudson. He's on the roster, too, it appears. I think it's much to do about nothing. I think it's ridiculous. I understand that because every other school is putting up there and, okay, and I understand with the Harbaugh thing and everybody, oh, he's being Jim Harbaugh, he's being stubborn, and I don't really think he cares. And I don't think today, and I left it downstairs, I don't want to go get it, but Michigan today gave us a press packet, right? And it did have a 2017 roster. 2017 roster of all the Michigan guys in the NFL. So, I mean, they had to believe someone's going to take it. I took a picture of it. I tweeted it at AdamBiggers81. Angelique was sitting next to me. She showed it to me. She tweeted it first. So, I mean, that was funny. And they knew people were going to take a picture of it. And that, to me, may be a little subtle jab back. Let's see if I can read and talk at the same time. Wes Weber says, would not be surprised if Isaac is leading rusher this year. DeMario Vaughn, Jim Mack has really been trolling Michigan and Jim lately. DeMario, yeah, and I don't know, what's the sense of it? I mean, really. Before a big game, you want to get your team riled up. Hey, we're going to go to Dallas, beat the heck out of Michigan. All right, you said it, boom. That carries some weight, right? Because people run with that quote, and there's so many columns, and everything just based off that quote. People, what does this mean? What do I think of it? And it got plenty of pub. And then he goes, and I'm forgetting his exact quote. Just basically another jab at Michigan, saying that Harbaugh, you know, some guys have to do stuff for attention, something along those lines. And to me, then that starts crossing in. Is it kind of personal? And I mean, Harbaugh intimidates other coaches. I think that's pretty clear. I think it's clear what he's doing at Michigan intimidates. I think it's clear that when he went on his satellite spree, carefree, shirtless, in SEC country, and said, look what I'm doing in your backyard and you can't stop it, I'm sure that probably pissed off some people. But Jim Harbaugh is a guy who finds a loophole and he's going to use that loophole. It's called innovation. Last time I looked, I don't know, definition wise, it's innovative. It's different. Jim Harbaugh is innovative. He's different. People don't like that. If you're not following line status quo, sometimes other people are intimidated by that. I hope that answers your question. Big Bubba Blue, Mac Better, I'm sorry, guys. This one, Big Bubba Blue. I think I got to, well, I just said piss, so it's okay. I got to censor myself a little bit because one of the YouTube videos I tried to monetize was up for review because I think I said S-H-I-T. Anyway, Mac better not piss off Harbaugh or Harbaugh going to run up the scoreboard. That's a given. That's a given, Big Blue. I don't know if it's going to be a blowout. I predicted 27-20, 24-20 range because I just don't know if I see a blowout. But in terms of a physical game, Florida's going to feel Michigan. Florida will feel Michigan on the scoreboard. Maybe it does get out of hand. I don't know. But I can guarantee this is not going to look like a season opener. This is going to look like a, you know, I think this is going to have an intensity for Michigan like an Ohio State game or a Michigan State game where these guys are riled up. I really do. How good is the Florida O-line? Tatenda Zinniemba, and I'm sorry if I butchered your name, Tatenda. I try. Let me know how to pronounce that. We're going to get in, Thomas Bendit and I are going to get into a full Florida preview. Likely, I leave Wednesday morning for Dallas, so it's probably going to be Wednesday night or Thursday night. So if you want to tune back in for that, I would appreciate it because we're going to go player for player, pound for pound, everything. Who's suspended for Florida? We'll go over that full list with everybody. You know, who we think are going to be potential game breakers on each side. It was a good pronunciation. I got it. Yes. Thanks, Tatenda. DeMario Vaughn, let's hope Felipe Franks isn't the next Tebow. Harbaugh referenced that today, too, because he was asked if he was ready to name a starter. Jim Harbaugh's response was, Florida hasn't named their starter yet either. Again, I think they're subtle jabs. They're subliminal, kind of, a little bit. Jim Harbaugh will play mind games. I don't think Jim Harbaugh is the type of guy to just come out. And with Jim McElwain, you know, suggesting he wants to try to get attention. To me, that you start getting a little bit personal. If you want to keep it on the fun, maybe slightly edgy trash talk side, okay. But when you start getting a little bit personal to me, then to me, when you start getting personal like that, that's a sign of fear. Just in general. If someone's personally attacking you, going either way, I think it's a sign of fear and intimidation. Who you got in D-line 2-deep, Raphael? Well, I think Michael Dwumfor is going to be in there. I think that Lawrence Marshall is going to be in there. I don't know if Aubrey Solomon's going to be in there, but I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know if I can give you a full 2-deep, you know, 8, 9, 10 guys, you know, with some extra reserves. But I do definitely think Lawrence Marshall, Michael Dwumfor are two likely candidates in there. I know Daron Irving Bay. At one time, Jim Harbaugh said Daron Irving Bay, true freshman, All-American from Flint, Southwestern, just a few miles from my house. I'm putting it the wrong way. Southwestern is that way. Daron, it sounded like, was working. So right there, I mean, I think that's 8 guys. Out of those extra 4 that I mentioned, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, Dwumfor and Lawrence Marshall, to me, seem like locks. Donovan Jeter, Rafael Sandoval wants to know. I haven't heard anything about Donovan. I really haven't. And unfortunately, I'm not going to be around Wednesday night, or Wednesday, whenever the time is. I'm not supposed to tell you guys the time anyway. Wednesday night, at some point, Don Brown's going to meet with the media. I won't be around for that. So I'm sure some questions will get answered then, but I'll already be in Dallas for that. Justin Green says Donovan Jeter's hurt. I'll leave it at that. Ron Johnson, base 7769. I haven't really heard anything about Ron Johnson. I do want to meet Carlo Kemp. Also, is a guy I think is going to be in there too. How'd I? Justin Green said he had knee surgery. I haven't read that. Where'd you see that, Justin? Because I do know, I could say this defensive line, Chris Ballas of TheWolverine.com the other day posted on his message board that Maurice Hurst was injured with a knee injury. I'm not sure the extent of that. And then it also mentioned that Luigi Villan was injured. And then speaking of, and I'll get back, Raphael, I guess right now I could give you 9 or 10. I said I couldn't at first. I think Quiddy Pay might figure into that too. So, you think Glasgow gets playing time on Saturday? Absolutely. He just got a scholarship. I mean, I can't see. He's obviously earned a spot. But it's going to be here. Jordan. Jordan will be a backup linebacker and a backup Viper. I mean, he's not going to start. Backup linebacker, backup safety, backup Viper. They'll use him in a few places. I think Jordan gets some playing time. If not, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he's on special teams. He's going to get on the field for sure. DeMario Vaughn says, since Mo did the interview, I take it he will play. You think Josh Ross will get some playing time this year? Just the feeling he does. Jeremy Turner wants to know. Yeah, Jeremy, I do. I think Josh is in there too, that 2-deep linebacker. I mean, I think Jordan Anthony and Drew Singleton will get some time on special teams too. Linebacker, and we've talked about this before, and I've written about this before. I think linebacker is a position maybe a lot of people aren't talking about, but it's going to be a lot more athletic. Again, it may not have the names, but I mean, Devin Bush was real solid last year. Mike McCray was real solid last year. I don't think there's a lot to worry about. Mike Brook, M.I.C. Brook, who's going to be the leading receiver and leading tackler this year? I think Mike McCray, pretty decent candidate for leading tackler. Leading receiver, I know before, because I've got this question before, and I usually, you know, if I say it, then that's what I feel. So I think it's going to be DPJ or Tariq. I'll give you two. But don't count, I keep saying, don't count out Kakoa. I know I don't want to just give you a broad answer there, but if I had to pick off the top of my head right now, I'll go Tariq. Just because you're putting me on the spot. Starting punter, kicker, Leoism. Quinn Nordine, field goal kicker. And it sounds like Will Hart, but even maybe Brad Robbins at punter. Again, I've got this question before. McDoom taking one for 80 yards. Yeah, and I didn't mention Eddie McDoom in the punt return, kick return. Eddie will be back there too, I believe. There are options, guys. Put it that way. But back to Leoism, starting punter, kicker. Like I said, Quinn Nordine, place kicker and kickoffs, starting punter, Will Hart, but Jim Harbaugh called Brad Robbins the real deal. It was like it was when he met with us just in the beginning of camp, about 3 weeks ago. I think we've gone over the entire starting lineup. And for those that are curious for a roster, you know, maybe share this with them, because I think you guys, with your questions, we went over basically the whole roster. So if there's any questions of who's going to play for Michigan, I think that you guys brought them up and I brought them up too. So Florida, Rutgers, feel free. Any word on the second cornerbacks? Brandon Watson, probably Ambry Thomas, I think. Maybe, I don't know, Ben St. Juice just yet. I mean, he's gotten mentioned, but I feel like Brandon Watson and Ambry are the two behind David Long and LaVert Hill. Who steps up on the coaching staff this year? M.I.C. Brook. In what way? Let's break that down and get specific. And guys, we're going on 33 minutes. I'll take a few more questions. And again, remember, catch me. I'll be in Dallas sometime after noon on Wednesday. I plan on doing a live stream from Dallas a couple times. I plan on doing all kinds of video, photos. So follow me on Twitter, at AdamBiggers81, for all that stuff. Does Drevno leave after this year? No, I don't think so. Can't wait to see how this run game has improved. M.I.C. Brook, step up and play calling. Well, I mean, I think we're going to... It would be hard to say step up because we didn't see, you know, he wasn't here last year. But I think with Pep Hamilton, pay attention to the passing game. I think we're going to see a little bit more energy in it. I've mentioned, I think, not total spread. I think there'll be some spread elements just because they're going to showcase that speed. I think Pep Hamilton, if you look at, okay, coaching impact and that you can really see a lot, Pep Hamilton passing game would be one of those. I would also mention Greg Madison's defensive line. This is still a very good defensive line. I know the expectations are for it to be good, very good. It's following like two historic defensive lines. I guess maybe if we see Greg Madison get a little bit more out of those guys, what if this defensive line can put itself in that same category as being historic? So I think those are two things to pay attention to. guy like Joe Milton would be a great spread quarterback. DeMario Vaughn. I like Joe. I like. He's got an arm. I've watched a ton. I think I've watched this about every huddle and or there's videos on huddle and every YouTube highlight I could find. Leo Wesley wants to know, Sean McCune passed Ian Bunting on depth chart. Guys, when I did my updated tight end depth chart the other, I don't know, I think it was last week, I went with Wheatley Jr., Sean, Zach Gentry, and Ian Bunting, dropping Ian from number 2 to number 4 in that. So, I'll stick with it, but, I mean, pay attention to Sean McCune. Definitely pay attention to Zach Gentry. They have really good options at tight end. And if we're just looking at the top 4 right there, I think, I mean, they all bring a little bit different style to the, and that's the thing, right? With a position group, you like that mixture. The tight ends have that mixture. I think the running backs have a good mixture of that too. DeMario Vaughn, Ian really fell off. I thought he would start this year. Well, I think he's been banged up a little bit too because players were referencing, you know, when he comes back. So I think it's a little, but Big Bubble Blue says they may use all 4. Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think maybe Nick Eubanks gets in there too. I feel like I didn't answer a question. Oh, it was about Drevno, and I got this one about Brown too. Brown and Drevno both had 5-year extensions, guys, so I don't think Drevno's going anywhere anytime soon. Oh, and I just got a message from Damon Doggy Perry. If any of you guys remember Doggy TV? Oh, great. I'll have a special announcement or a special photo, we should say. You guys are, I'm gonna get some big boy clothes. I'm gonna have a nice suit, it sounds like, for the Florida game. I don't think you guys have ever seen, if you watch these live streams, you're used to me and like I look like I can go to practice real, because sometimes I do. So that is excellent news. Okay, back to your guys' questions. So when will the injury report come out? What injury report? That's a joke, right? D. Cookster won. Jim Harbaugh, injury report. We can't even get a 2D. Any thoughts on the Bama-Florida State game? I see FSU pulling the upset. I like DeAndre Francois. That kid's a good quarterback. I like Florida State. Florida State's good. I wouldn't upset. I think Florida State might be able to get at Bama. I do. Any chance Indiana upsets Ohio State Thursday? LOL, DeMario wants to know. No, I don't think so. D. Cookster, yes. Okay, that was a joke. Good, D. Cookster. I appreciate that. Couple more questions, guys. We're 38 minutes. Maybe we can slide underneath this 40-minute mark. We'll find out. It's not really an upset. Preseason rankings are bogus. I agree with that. I don't put a whole lot of stock in preseason. Let's end it on this. I've been asked this question because at first I think, well, Michigan was number 9 in one poll and then number 11. And I was asked number 11. I think that's even kind of high for Michigan, honestly. I mean, it's a starting point. Do I think at the end of the year that Michigan will be a top 15 team? Yeah, I think that's fair with a 9-3 record. I think that you're in the Big Ten and given the schedule, and you know we had to see marginal losses and stuff like that. But if Michigan goes and beats Florida, which I think will happen on Saturday, and then what? Cincinnati, Air Force. Thomas and I talked about this last night. I think there is a possibility to see Michigan get hot early. And then maybe we could start talking about, okay, can the Wolverines cross that 9-win threshold? But for right now, I think 9-3 is more than a fair prediction. Do I think Florida will be a barn burner or defensive battle? The Turf wants to know. Is it the Turf or them turf? I think it's going to be close, but barn burner, like I said, I could see this being a 27-20 game for Michigan. Maybe Florida gets a late. I don't know. It's hard. I could predict, you know, one way and give a bunch of detail and be completely wrong. I'll say I think it'll be a game where Score is close, but Michigan's defense, I'm anticipating, maybe that gives for a strong, I don't know, I'm stretching it here, man, I'm trying for it. Barn burner, I think it's going to be a close game. I don't think it's going to be like one of these final possession games. I think Michigan could probably, if I'm envisioning it correctly, Michigan will have this in hand by fourth quarter and just kind of be able to I don't want to say relax, but rely on defense and not have to force anything offensively. Does that answer your question? I hope so. Well, MSU have a better year than last year, Leoism. I get this one a lot too. Well, anything's better than 3-9, I think. Yeah, I think Michigan State bowl eligibility, I think, is the goal for the Spartans. Muhammad Malik, do you think Michigan loses to Wisconsin, Penn State, and Ohio State? I think the possibilities are there for loss. I mean, I can't count the Ohio State win, our game as a win, because like I've mentioned all the time, they've beaten Ohio State three times since I graduated high school, and I think it's one or the other with Wisconsin and at Penn State as of right now. I would like to say in 2015, after the BYU game, I did adjust it. I went Michigan from an 8-win team to a 10-win team. I mean, things can happen, right? And all this preseason talk, I mean, we like to think, you know, people who cover this and spend, you know, this is their career, everybody has a good grasp on it, right? But, I mean, if a guy could just predict the future, then he'd be rich. Like, Back to the Future, right, when Marty gets the almanac. I mean, I wish I could see in the future. I try to give you guys an educated prediction based on what I believe and understand. But to ask me, you know, is Ty Isaac going to have a 20-yard carry on third and goal with 8:06 to play in the third quarter? I don't know. I don't. I wish I did. Be rich off prop bets. Do the key player losses to Florida's team hurt Michigan's strength of schedule later in the year? I mean, I don't think it should. Because if you're basing strength of schedule, I mean, right now, I mean, Michigan or Florida is number 17 ranked team in the nation. It's an SEC opponent. It's a neutral site. I mean, yeah, suspensions might make it, you know, work in Michigan's favor. But I don't, down the line, if when I'm looking at Michigan's strength of schedule, I'm not going to say, well, you know, Florida had that one key, that Antonio Callaway, that and the linebacker, Kianavis Davis. They had two, you know, guys. One that could really hurt them and one who would maybe contribute, but still went to Dallas season opener and beat the Florida Gators. I wouldn't hold that against them. I mean, I would still count it as a quality win. This is a huge game for them. It doesn't matter who's suspended for Florida. Low-key nervous about that Air Force game, says Big Bubba Blue. That's tongue-in-cheek, of course. Guys are... All right. I'm going to end this one, guys. I have a couple things to do. I'm trying to get my house in order before I leave for Dallas. I want to thank everyone for watching the live YouTube stream. I want to thank Tim and Keith at Mr. Spots. I actually saw Tim driving down State Street as I was walking from Spots to Towsley today with my sandwich. And so thanks to those guys. Visit them on 808 State Street, right up the street from the Michigan Athletic Facilities. I'll be giving away a lot of food. Steak sandwiches, wings, waffle fries, all that stuff. They have milkshakes, burgers. Going to hook you guys up. Appreciate it. Visit them online at MrSpotsAnnArbor.com. Follow me on Twitter at AdamBiggers81. Follow FanRag Sports at Fanrag_U. Follow, and I just got this really, it's probably a spam comment. I just want to read this. So you guys know the plugs, FanRag Sports_U. At Mitten Sports MI, that's Sports and Mitten Podcast on Twitter. Search us on Facebook at Sports and the Mitten. And this one says, hello, I am a Japanese woman. There is a warning that North Korea just released a missile in Japan. Fear is full. It was woken up by a national protection siren. It was very bad sound. I'm not joking about the, but I just, okay, I'm sorry. I thought it was going to be something different when it said I'm a Japanese woman. Anyway, dang Dora, way to kill the mood. Sorry. Anyway. Yeah, sorry about that. I'm not laughing about potential nuclear. I thought it was going to be spam in another direction when I said, hello, I am a Japanese woman. I thought it was going to be something else. Anyway, guys, I'm going to get off here before I get myself in trouble. Thanks again for watching. I'll catch up with you next time. Bye, Dora.